white fire will expand from the dragonborn mouth and completely engulf the fallen monk.
Not so much the monk.
Hey, Dad, look at this. Wow.
So you're saying you felt me before?
Okay, moving along.
My past is my own, my purpose is my own.
Chapter 7. An awkward dinner party.
At the end of the last session, you guys had finally cleared the cellars out, and they were definitely dens of iniquity. You found that these drug torque had caused some sort of fungal infection in all the people that were using it, and some of them had completely overcome and were completely covered by fungus at that point in time. The ones that weren't had been turned into mindless zombies that just hated everything around them and tried to kill it. And you guys were successful. The innkeeper, when you guys get back upstairs, they clean up most of the mess. There's still, you know, crushed tables and splashes on the floor where people's food had been thrown about. But they cleared away most of the debris. Did you guys want to try to eat? Your dinner was somewhat... somewhat interrupted. Did you want to try to eat there before you go into bed, or are you just going to go straight to bed?
No, eat first.
We should eat.
I'll take my food to my room.
Yeah.
I asked him to hold the mushrooms.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Jeez. Very wise, unfortunately.
So in between sessions, you guys all leveled up. So you're all level 2 now. And
does that mean we get 2 hit dice, right?
Do all the boring thing. And actually, thank you for mentioning that. We should talk about how we do healing one more time. We all did the beta test when they were doing the beta on 5e, and the one thing that we really kind of had trouble with was sort of the omnibus healing that had been suggested, where you just wake up every morning feeling fresh and new, which didn't seem very realistic if you'd just been, you know, splashed with acid, burnt by a dragon breath, and slashed by swords and claws the day before. So the healing that we worked out, instead of getting some of your hit die back, you get all of your hit dice back when you wake up in the morning. However, there's no additional healing. So you can spend them, the hit dice, one at a time, or more at a time at higher levels, but one at a time up until level 5. And you can basically bandage up, massage the wounds out, change the bandages, apply tinctures and ointments, and try to heal your wounds that way. And so you wake up just as damaged as you were the night before, but then you can use your hit die again to try to get better. And then, of course, use them throughout the day. Yeah. Okay. So, you guys did all the boring mathematical stuff. Let's talk about in-game what actually happened. So the two monks, after everyone had gone to bed, you guys found yourselves in the great room. And without all those stupid tables in the way, there's a lot of room to go and exercise. What did you guys do?
We did some sparring with each other, and we were given a scroll by our master before we left. This is something we've had for throughout our training, and now that we have the experience that we do, we are able to understand a section of it that we did not previously.
So you guys start sparring, and it's, oh, if I do a little stutter step and then come through, then I can kick you in the face. And then I can arm lock you and elbow you, come around with the elbow. And so you guys learn your new moves. What all did you guys get at second level?
So we have ki. So we've learned a form of meditation by which we can harness our inner strength. So from there, we have Flurry of Blows, which essentially gives us an additional unarmored attack as a bonus action. Patient Defense, which allows us to dodge as a bonus action. And Step of the Wind, where we can disengage or dash as a bonus action, and our jump is doubled. And we got one more ability.
Oh, and we're our speed was increased by 10.
So you guys finally were able to reach that deep meditation and get in touch with your key. So that was good. So what happened with the sorcerer that evening?
After finishing up his meal, Arlen goes up to his room and basically falls asleep. But during the night, the tattoo on the back of his arm glows and starts to spread a little more. And he got magic missile and ray of frost, as well as 2 sorcery points that he can spend on regaining spell slots.
Okay. Now, for the Paladin, the fighter, you guys had something interesting that happened in between. Why don't we go over that? So, did you go to the Paladin's room and knock on his door, or was it the other way around, Guinevere?
I went and talked to the Paladin because not having any memory of who I was up until a few months ago, it's... I find it deeply disturbing to be in this land where nothing is like me and I am so much different than anything else. The confident words that the Paladin has spoken about his deity has sparked my interest, so I'm going for more clarification to him about joining a sect that might be able to help me find who I can be.
And so you decided to take him down to the cathedral to introduce him to your faith?
Yes. Find the local priest of how did we determine it was said?
Dianket.
Dianket.
Yeah. So you guys had no trouble. The it was clear directions from the innkeeper, and within a short time that evening, you found yourself in a mostly deserted cathedral. And in this baronial town, it's so much more grand than all the small towns you guys have been passing through. It's not just a simple chapel, but it's a whole cathedral devoted entirely to this one deity. And as you come in the door, what seems like a young page comes up. It's a small halfling boy. And he says, yes, what can I do for you? And he notices your holy symbol, Alistair, and says, oh! And he bows, you know, very quickly. It's a Templar, what can we do for you?
This one wishes to join our ranks.
Oh, okay. And he just basically flees and then comes back and says, please, have a seat anywhere, I'll be right back. And flees to the back of the church. And a few minutes later, someone in high-level robes of your order, which seemed to have been just hastily put on, sweeps into the room. Alistair, you notice this is actually a high-level priest and several ranks above you, and he sweeps up to you guys.
Bow.
Yes, my son. What can I do for you? My page here tells me that we have a new one joining our flock.
Yes, this one wishes to join in our faith.
And he turns to you, Guinevere, and you just see his jaw drop. And a few moments later, seems to regain himself and says, why, yes. We would be most pleased to have you in our order. Please, come forward. And he puts his arm around your shoulder. Well, he tries to. It's more across your shoulder blades. And he sweeps up to the front of the cathedral. And you guys spend the rest of the evening in prayers and supplications. And somewhere in the midst of that, Guinevere, you get a revelation. And all of a sudden you find yourselves with yourself with new abilities that you never had before.
Beige light shines down.
No, I'm a little more colorful than that, thank you.
So why don't you tell us what happened with your character?
Well, rather than go to level 2, I multi-classed into the cleric. So while I'm still a second level character, I am a first level fighter and a first level cleric now.
Excellent. So why don't you tell us about your revelation? You saw the light.
Well, unlike my powerful yet beige paladin, as I sit in these meditative trance and these words are washed over me, I find myself disconnecting from the physical plane and finding myself before a empty void that is still filled with a presence, even though I can't see anything, and a voice will speak into my head, welcome me into his family and his fold, and discusses the deep thought of what it is to be part of the life domain of Dienkek. And he just goes on and on in a voice that only I can hear about what is to be expected of me and what it is that it is to be a cleric and giving me guidance in the future. And as he's speaking, spells start forming in my mind of how to bring forth healing into my party and friends and those that might cross my path along the way.
So you pull out of this trance and you find yourself with the high-level priest standing basically over you and Alistair. Alistair is on his knees with his hands together in a supplicant's pose. And the priest has a hand on each of your foreheads. And he says, "Now go forth, my sons. Defend the weak. Heal the sick. And spread the good news to everyone. Do well and do great. And may I see you here before too long again."
And rise and leave.
Rise, thank him, and leave.
You like interject into his trance. You gotta say thank you.
The word thank you does not leave his lips.
I'm gonna call out the order.
So you guys make your way back to the inn. By the time you get back, everything is quiet and dark. There's just one last low-level, drudge cleaning the last little bits of broken and spilled stuff off the floor, and you guys find your way to your rooms.
Yeah.
All too soon, especially for you guys.
Hmm. But not too soon that we don't get our stuff back.
Your room is the closest to the stairwell, and you receive kind of a timid knock on your door.
Open it, yes.
And there is a page in the livery of the Baron. It is a dwarf. Seems fairly young. His beard is probably only a foot and a half long. And he bows very stately to you and says, "Good morrow to you. Your presence has been requested by Her Highness the Baroness. Could you please assemble your group and follow me?"
Yes, and then I'll go and wake everyone else up.
So, Gwendolyn, it seems like it's you barely shut your eyes, and all of a sudden Alistair is pounding at your door.
Open it up and look at him.
The rest of you got a pretty good night's sleep.
Side note, does that mean I do not have my whatever I have refreshed?
Oh, they did give you a, also the, you found after you got done with your experience that hanging around your neck at some point was put a iron holy symbol.
Okay.
So you have that now.
But
yeah, everybody has their spell slots refreshed. You guys all have your hit dice back. You can use those real quick if you need to. If anybody's still damaged.
Although I didn't get a chance to mention it during my level up phase, I gained the access to a 2 level 1 spells to use.
So similar sort of experience to what Gwendolyn had. You
much more beige.
Yeah, when you were
what is your color?
Of what?
Healing and stuff.
You
well,
haven't
you
seen yet.
Fun.
Off beige.
Off beige.
Sorry, dude. You're on your own with
beige
the beige.
Beige drab.
Beige with sparkles.
A slightly lighter shade of beige.
Yeah. Beige
I would call it
off beige polka dots.
Yeah.
When you come down the stairs, the page is sitting there, and he has a plate of eggs and bacon and grilled potatoes in front of him. And there are also plates set for the rest of you, and he kind of barely clears his mouth enough to kind of grunt in your direction, and he indicates the plates.
He will start eating.
He says, "I hope you don't mind. I took the liberty."
I think
nom.
Who is this doing this now?
This is the page, the Baron's page.
Oh, the Baron's page.
Okay.
Because the Baron is a lady. Mm.
The Baroness is, or the Baron's
well,
wife.
Well, quickly eat and
Baroness.
Indicate to take us forth.
Okay, so you shove food in your face and take out of the inn, and it's still probably you know, early hours of the morning, a mist has covered the town from the waterfall. But the page leads you confidently through the streets. You guys get up to that big, huge ramp leading to the castle. There is already a line. And there's probably 100 people in this line.
Wow. We're first in line.
The page basically goes up the other side of the ramp and just strides forward without even breaking step and just passes by this long line.
Following him.
And leads you into the keep itself. You go through the over the drawbridge, through the portcullis and the battlements, and into the keep proper. It seems to be all one huge, large building. You guys file through a couple hallways, and then you go past the throne room, which is well lit and has a bustle of people, but there is no official people there. It just seems to be servants tidying up. And instead, the page turns down another hallway deeper into the keep itself, into what would appear to be the private apartments. And you find yourself in a parlor. And sitting in the parlor with a scribe next to her is a beautiful human woman, dark hair hanging down almost to her waist. She is dressed in a very formal garb. Next to her is a small writing desk just stacked with parchment and, of course, an inkwell. She slowly rises to her feet as you enter. The page comes in and announces, "My lady, the adventurers that you requested to be brought to the keep, I present to you," and he looks and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, your names?"
Cornval, cleric of Dianetic and fighter.
Is Cornval a cleric and a fighter? Any looks to you?
I am no one.
And no one? A master of the martial arts?
The martial arts.
And he looks to you. And also a master of the martial arts?
Yes.
In your name?
Adri.
Another master?
Arlen.
Arlen, who is?
A magic user.
A user of magical ability?
Alistair, the beige knight.
Oh my lord.
Well, you would have to be conferred the title of knight, so...
The beige wannabe.
Alistair,
a holy fighter.
As soon as I can, I'm going to get the title of the beige knight.
And he steps to the side and out of the way in the back of the room, leaving you there in front of the Baroness, who sits back down on her chair. Did the news say anything?
You're the one who came to you.
You're the one who... That's because I have the buzzer. You're the human one.
As they're bickering, I step up.
Oh, you're...
You wish to see us, my lady?
He's a half-elf.
Says, thank you for coming.
The dragonborn goes and talks.
And thank you for coming at such short notice. I know this must have been a bit of a problem. I do apologize for you not meeting with my husband. I expect you had thought to meet us in general court, but... the problems that you are experiencing are being echoed from all corners of the barony. It seems trouble has appeared everywhere all at once, and she actually starts riffling through a sizable stack of various petitions. The baron and I have had to split up our interviews to handle as many as we can at any one time. I understand that you are, in addition to... being involved in some nastiness in our barony, also our ambassadors from your town?
Yes, we have brought a missive from the town leadership begging your help at their time of need of these dark events occurring.
The page steps forward and holds his hand out to you.
I indicate the paladin.
And he takes the scroll up to the baroness, and she... basically skims through it as quickly as she can, and she says, "Yes, as I said, the problems that you report here are being echoed from all corners of the barony. Still, we are not without resources or compassion. I will see what aid can be sent to the town of Lowford. Certainly, some militia and supplies at least can be liberated for you.
Thank you.
We appreciate the aid brought to us.
And she pauses and thinks for a few minutes, hands the petition to her scribe, and says, while I'm organizing this mission, perhaps you could assist the Baron. I have this report, and she holds up another sheet of parchment, about the trouble you were involved with, these fungal monstrosities.
Yes, they're quite interesting occurrence there.
This problem has been appearing more and more. It appears that it results from this infected torque. And she wrinkles up her nose and shivers slightly. Nasty stuff, and a terrible habit to get into. And then she pulls back a cloth under which are three boxes. Each is filled with a handful of torque sticks. The first look pretty much as you would expect torque to look like, little purple roots. The second, you can't help but notice, have a speckling of small white spots on them. The third, though, holds your attention. Small fungal sprouts have formed along the sticks. In some cases, they've grown into small mushrooms. Mushrooms that look awfully similar to the ones you saw growing out of the mindless beasts that you defeated last night. The torque is the source of the infection, the Baroness continues. Already a curse upon the law-abiding people, and now seems to have been contaminated by this fungus. Undoubtedly due to these evil fogs that have formed of late. When ingested, the fungus eats away at the body like a canker until only a mindless beast is left. In the end, well, you saw what happens in the end. Fortunately, your encounter is pinpointed the source as our neighbor Barony. If we can get them to halt the shipments there, perhaps we can put an end to this plague. You have proven yourselves as capable ambassadors. Could I entreat you to carry an embassy to the neighboring Barony and demand the end of the trade of infected goods? The Baron and I would consider it a personal favor if you should carry out this duty.
We can do that for you, ma'am.
Oh, thank you very much. I knew we could depend on the citizens of Lofor to help. All must help in these times of need. She indicates the page, and the page comes forward, and she dictates some instructions to the scribe, who writes out a royal demand scroll and gives it to the page. And the page says, if you would follow me, ambassadors. And he sweeps out of the room after bowing deeply to the Baroness.
Bow my head to the Baroness and follow the page out.
Bow and follow. Mm-hmm.
She says, and good luck, and speed back to see us. So the page takes the scroll down to the lower levels of the keep and hands it to a quartermaster. And he basically puts together for you five riding horses, all in the Baron's livery. You guys are given 5 days worth of very good provisions. And there's a water skin for each of you. And in the satchel you're given as well, a healing potion. And there's a small purse with 20 gold pieces on it. It's given to each of you.
Yeah, 20 more gold.
Yes.
And so it's the same type of healing potion that we had?
Mm-hmm. Same basic healing potion.
Oh, I have 2 of those now. How many gold pieces?
20.
What else did I get? Healing potion and...
Did I ever give you the money back?
No.
I mean, give you a gold piece because you gave
yes.
your 5
yes.
to a...
No, no one ever gave me anything.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm going to give you 1.
Yeah, I'll give you that too.
I don't.
I don't know. I already did.
Yeah.
I was the only person who did.
No.
Because
no,
I wrote
that was
down
for the
that
rooms.
I have. Yes, that was for the rooms.
Yeah.
And what are you talking about?
He bribed the.
Didn't bribe. I just motivated properly.
He donated to the guy who was writing on the list to get us moved to the top.
Okay.
So I'm paying him back for his thing.
He's
and
got
the fact
issues.
That
he's.
I choose to not notice.
I would like not to heal you.
I'll get you.
You better be careful. He'll sick his flumps after you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
lack of rabbit venom.
If they attack as well as he does, it takes 3 rounds to get rid of them.
All 1d6 flumps of them.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, dealing 2 damage a round, it'll take him, a minute to take you down?
Oh, look, a flying donut.
So, the quartermaster definitely advises you. He takes a look at, you know, the kind of beat up shape you guys are in and says, I would wait until tomorrow. The weather looks a little chancy. Why don't you rest up and wait one more day? Take off in the morning. I will speak to the page about getting you another night's stay in the inn there. I'm sure they would appreciate that.
Thank you.
And he says, when you are ready in the morning, come by and I will have the horses saddled and ready for you.
So I will use one of my hit die before I go to bed.
Yes. So you guys wander back to the inn, and the page actually goes with you and gives the innkeeper basically a per diem scroll. And you guys are put up for one more night. So yeah, you guys can all use your hit die to, and actually all of your hit die, both of your hit die during the day today to rest up and get ready to go.
Do no one or myself need to roll an animal handling check for the horses not to go nuts when we approach them?
Why don't you do that and see what happens when you initially approach them? I'm sure they'll get used to you guys in time.
You're welcome.
I mean, I don't smell like lizard.
Non-natural 20.
Okay. Yeah, they seem to view you as
a 21.
Okay, so yeah, these horses are well trained and have no trouble with the presence of you guys.
And I smell better.
And they completely freak out with me, you know.
That's because you try to light another fireball and hit Mark.
Yeah. Like the one that was supposed to hit the fungus guy like 2 days ago.
Delay fireball.
Like take the reins off.
I've heard of having a short fuse. You got a long fuse.
Really,
really long.
He's confused.
In 2 days, that's going to be really bad for you.
And
it's quivering firebolt.
I'm pretty sure that like a hell firebolt, it increases like 1d6 damage per turn.
Can I see the book for a second?
So
right here, this book.
Okay.
That's 600 damage extra in hour. No.
I have to see.
What are you looking for?
10.
If I get anything. 10d6
a minute.
Or race wise.
600d6 an hour for held firebolts.
Yeah, third level,
if you manage to continue it.
A second level
so,
spell.
As exciting as that is.
Or maybe you can cast it.
So you guys return to the inn. You guys are the only people staying in the inn, you found, as.
Everyone's
everyone
dead.
Everyone apparently. Yeah. Was either bludgeoned or fled out of the inn and decided not to come back.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, this is the place that just got cleaned out of all the ghouls. Like,
well, you know, reputation and all that. So the innkeeper, of course, is amazingly happy to have you back, especially considering the Baron's paying for it. You guys have whatever you guys want from the menu for dinner, as you can imagine.
Inquire the health of the little girl.
And they say, what little girl?
The little one that was here helping.
The one that ran away. Yes, we have not seen her since.
She ran away.
Did not the captain send her on her way? I she must have gone back home. We have not seen her since. No.
Yeah, she came and testified.
She's like an
for 8 year old
girl, wasn't she?
Just,
maybe she went home.
8 year olds wander around. In
where does she live?
Medieval towns.
I do not know. Not familiar with her, but there are many urchins on the street, so.
Mm. Disturbing.
Yes. Anyway, so you guys find yourself in the empty great room with a lavish banquet set before you, and you guys all of a sudden realize that this is the first time that you've all been sort of alone together. And while being thrown together as a team early on, you realize you don't know much about each other at all past your names.
Well, I think I would know a little bit more about the paladin at this point, wouldn't I?
Oh, yes,
a little, like, past few years.
But all you really know about him is that you fought with him side by side, and he's taken you to the cathedral to.
You're not besties.
And of course, you know, the two of you, on this side of the table, no one's ever seen anyone like you before. The half elves all seem to. You'll be regular enough, but no one's seen a tall, scaly, you know, lizard-like creature. No one's seen someone with a tail and fiery eyes and horns. So you get, and of course you guys have puzzlement on how you all ended up here. And of course the rest of you have never seen folks, I mean you've heard rumors of the monasteries of the mountains where they teach people to fight with their bare hands, but you've never seen people like that in public.
I'm not going to start anything. I don't want. I have a lot of things in my past I want to hide.
I just don't care.
I'm uncomfortable.
So there's an uncomfortable silence.
Very uncomfortable.
I'm kind of looking at the sorcerer. So exactly where are you from? Your magic's a little different than I would imagine.
I am actually just from one of the farms outside of out of the town.
Then what made you come join a whatever you would call us, a brute squad?
My father was getting ill, and he, my older brothers, I'm the youngest of, I believe, nine children, and he already portioned out the farm to the rest of the, to the rest of my brothers, and I had to go get a job in the city.
And this was the first one you could find?
Yes.
Are all your family members magical?
No, none of them. Only myself.
It's a new way of learning. It's courageous.
He just popped up. Hey, Dad, look at this. Wow. More like, as in like a four-year-old.
Wow.
I think it was like eight, actually. But really, I was just out tending the fields, and then suddenly it was on fire, and I had no idea why.
That sounds like a problem.
A little bit, yeah.
How is it that you can set fields on fire, but not zombies?
I would imagine it takes more concentration to focus those energies than just let them blaze dangerously loose. What about you, Sir Knight, as you wish to be called? And what's with the beige color?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like the only... I'm the only one in our faith who seems to have it, really. This strong beige.
Why do you speak in a monotone?
Please
okay,
continue.
You don't get the Dungeon Master very often. That was good.
So, how long have you been with the sect, besides my 24 hours?
6 years. I started out as just a general priest in a monastery as far away from my homeland as I could, and ended up with a... with my skill for fighting, becoming a paladin.
As opposed to just becoming a cleric of healing, you decide to fight more proactively.
Yes.
I see. And what has you joined this brute squad?
I was given a missive to come out to see the local friar, and he wasn't around, so I wandered around, and apparently he wasn't around... commonly was out doing his own thing, meeting with commoners in other areas. So I decided to get a side position here with the militia, or brute squad.
As a priest, the friar is part of the militia?
No, I decided to, as like a, something to do while I was waiting for him. And then first thing they do, they send me away.
Oh.
I'll have to get back and talk to the friar, but until then, I'll be with this group.
And what of you two that are making the odd gestures to one another? How did you come become part of this militia? Or, excuse me, this brute squad?
We were sent by our master.
To what purpose?
Uncertain.
Really?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And being as you are as unique as I appear to be...
My past is my own. My purpose is my own.
Just to say, our partnership was not voluntary.
Oh, okay.
It's more coincidental, at least as far as I can tell.
Do you train together? You have similar styles.
Yes, but as far as arriving in the town that we did, it's not our choice to go together.
Hmm.
And what about yourself?
What about me?
Why did you come for this brute squad?
I needed the work.
You've never seen anything like him.
I've never seen anything like you.
What a coincidence, neither have I.
Really? You don't even know anyone else who is like you?
No, I have no memory of anything but a few months ago.
Really?
Wow.
I assume I didn't always look like this. Well, the scales, I imagine I look like this, but the rest of it, I don't know. A traveler through the mountains found me. And I woke up in his cottage. He was kind enough to tend to me and not kill me.
What happened to the traveler?
He was a mercenary. He took jobs doing whatever could be done, protecting the roads and whatnot. And we were contracted by the town south of where we met to explore a band of thieves. Unfortunately, they were actually able to get the best of us. I survived and my friend did not. And the only thing I have to link them to anything is this broken piece of something that came off the chest of the one that ran him through. So if I find out who that is, I can find one, the killer of my friend, and maybe somebody that could link to my past, because he seemed to recognize me before he vanished into the forest. So that is my story.
Okay, well,
and evidently I can breathe lightning.
After this uncomfortable talk around the dinner table, you guys clean up the last scraps and head off to bed. And as the stable master's weather, I predicted, as the afternoon wears on, it breaks into a dull rain, which turns into quite a storm overnight, actually. And then...
Was it a dark and stormy night?
Yes. And then...
Were yesterday.
The morning, though, the streets are clean and the sky is blue. And you guys feel refreshed and ready for a new day out there. And you report back to the stables, and in fact, your horses are already ready to go. They're saddled up in the, you know, Baron's livery, and the, you know, with grooms attending them. And all your supplies are loaded on and ready to go.
Excellent.
Do we know exactly where we are going?
Yes, the road leading to the east goes basically straight to Excalibrium Colis.
That was where the Maker's Mark.
Yeah, that's the next barony to the east. As you guys know, there are five baronies that surround the giant Marin Arenosium, the giant desert that occupies the center of the valley. And but life still clings to the foothills. Mainly in the, you know, preview of the Barrens. You guys are going to have to go through the forest of Niger Saltus, and the road's going to diverge there, but the westernmost road will lead to the, or the northernmost road will lead right to the city. Interestingly enough, Alistair, this is also the road back to your monastery, where you did all your training. Mm-hmm. You'll pass by the road that leads there after you've left the forest. It will take you a good 2.5 days to make it there, though. So the sooner you guys get going, the better.
Well, I suggest, unless anyone else has pressing business here, I suppose we'll head on our way.
Let's head out.
These are all horses, but not a cart, correct?
Right.
All right, so, yeah, hop up. Off we go. Heading east.
So, everybody give for me a perception check as you ride.
10.
17.
9.
14.
18.
Gesundheit.
What?
So you guys don't have any encounters during your first day out, and you pass a whole lot of traffic going back into the city. The usual, you know, traffic of commerce, carts loaded with goods, people that seem to be traders heading to and fro, maybe some pilgrims, but an inordinate number of also of what seems to be groups similar to yours that maybe were employees, ambassadors coming to bring their troubles to the Baron and the Baroness. The end of the day, it's pleasant weather out. It cleared off to a cool but nice day for riding. The horses are, you know, fine examples of their breed and stride along purposely, and you find yourselves just in the eaves of the forest at the crossroads where the road forks, and the northern one heads off to the city. The southern one takes the high road and heads further around this large valley that the entire kingdom is based on. And you find yourself right there at the crossroads.
Is this the road where the monastery...
No, it branches off of, and actually, you know, it's halfway between the high road and the low road, and on the far side of the forest.
So do we have a choice between taking a high road or a low road?
Well, the low road is the one that leads down to the city. It is found right at the very edge of the foothills, right on the very edge of the Mara Nerusium.
The one we just left, or the one we're going
towards? The one you're going towards.
Okay.
The Civitas Cataracta, obviously being Waterfall City, is on two very tall cliffs, very high in the mountains.
Well, take the road toward our destination.
Yes. Okay. Well, you've come to the end of the thing, so you'll have to make camp tonight, and then you can take the low road tomorrow.
Does there
wait at the crossroads?
Yeah, pretty much at the crossroads.
That's,
yeah.
That's fun.
Are there other people here camping?
No, but you do find a number of fire rings and so forth in the underbrush. It is a full day's ride from the city, from Waterfall City, so you guys do find yourself right there, you know, where countless other people have camped as well.
Okay, well, find a fire pit that's in good repair and off the beaten path, so set up camp. I think it would not be unwise to set up a watch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do I have a watch schedule?
I'll take the first watch.
I'll take the second.
I'll take third.
I'll take fourth.
You get to sleep all day.
I get to sleep. Yay!
I think for the sake of fairness, we'll rotate that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we'll only need three.
We'll do one watch each, then next night he'll do all the watches.
Yes, yes.
It wouldn't make him more useless.
No, wait, when he does it, it's beige watch.
That's not.
Is that where they run? That's where they run in slow motion and then trip over the feet, right?
He wouldn't be beige wash. He would
be beige wash. But when he did it, it would be beige wash.
Yeah, but you were. It was in the. We were discussing him though, so you were just a loser. That's all.
It's a feeling he's used to.
I know.
So you're saying you felt me before?
Okay, moving along.
I think we might have just dodged the explicit tag on that one. I'm not sure.
Probably not.
Okay, so who's on first watch?
Gwernville.
Yes.
Perception check?
15.
Okay.
I'm sorry. 19. Or 17. 17.
There's some small animals running through the underbrush. Nothing more than that.
Okay.
Who's on second?
Noah. Who's on first? You need to stop.
No okay. One's on.
Adrian.
Oh, Adrian is. I'm sorry. I thought no one was second.
That would be 10.
Okay, and you notice a little bit less. There's just the common noises of the night.
Oh, yeah.
I am third.
Mm-hmm.
My perception is 12.
Okay, and nothing more exciting than just before dawn. You see a little bright face appear in the woods and realize it's just a gray fox. And it takes a quick look at the group and decides you guys aren't of any interest to it and scurries off into the underbrush.
My watch.
Mm-hmm.
17.
And nothing too terribly exciting there on yours as well. Just...
except the goblin army.
Yeah, the birds start to wake up and sing in the trees and so forth.
Awesome.
Okay, so you guys wake up all nice and fresh. Is anybody still down any hit points, or have you guys used your...
I'm full.
I'm full.
I'm good to go.
Okay, so you guys have all your hit die to use. And you're ready to start your day. Everybody roll for me an animal handling check.
21.
Oh my god, 6.
Oh no, 7.
4.
And how much did you get?
6.
Okay. So,
I'm like doing dressage and you're falling down.
You guys attempt to saddle the horses up, and you guys realize that the only one that really was paying attention when it was done was Noan. He kind of gives you the, you know, the forehead smack sort of, you know, face palm, can't believe I'm stuck with these idiots, and luckily is able to cinch all your cinch straps up and get the bridles on up, you know, correctly instead of upside down. And
I finally found something the monk's good at.
Oh, ow.
And somehow or other, it takes you about an extra hour in the morning, but you finally do get yourselves mounted and off and ready and riding again.
I have a background of a soldier and I can't get on a horse.
Well, apparently you weren't in the cavalry.
That's for sure.
Okay. This is our personal category.
Infant tree.
Mm. Yes.
No.
Infant.
So you guys are riding for about an hour on the low road, getting deeper and deeper into the forest, and all of a sudden the wind changes, starts blowing into your face instead of crosswise against you, and your horses just start to shy and stutter. Actually, everyone give me another animal handling check.
Ha!
Oh, no.
That one's 21.
14, 17.
14.
14.
8.
Okay. The paladin, knight wannabe, can't ride a horse.
And so, Alistair, your horse actually startles and bolts, and you have to bring it back under control. And you're actually about 30 or 40 feet back down the road before you finally get back, calmed down. And it's showing a lot of white of the eye and sweating.
Perception check to see what could be doing this, or it would be insight or perception?
No, perception.
Perception.
Aww.
12.
looking around as well.
Something has startled the horses, and they just simply won't go another step forward. Whatever it is got them terrified.
They slowly get off the horse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Keeping an eye around my surroundings.
In fact,
do I smell anything?
We should tie them up.
That's what I was just going to say. We should tie the horses to something so we don't...
18.
I'm sorry, 20. There is kind of a faint odor on the breeze coming down the road in front of you.
Smells
and
like...
And as if realizing that you guys have noticed that it's there... what appears to be a black panther steps out from the trees. That would be if black panthers had six legs and two tentacles coming off of their shoulders that end up in spiked pads. It lets out a low growl and starts whipping its little spiked tentacles around. And then all of a sudden, it starts to blur.
As if it's
vibrating in place, and you can't really quite be sure where exactly in that blur it really is.
Really,
and everybody rolls initiative. So it's Gwen.
Non-natural 20.
Oh no!
Oh no! Oh,
and
no
one.
21.
And Alistair?
Natural 20. 21.
Okay.
Good waste of a roll.
Still faster.
And Arlen?
Two.
You're
so
awesome.
You're still tending to the horses, apparently.
you get to hold on to them.
Yeah.
Seven.
Okay.
I'm telling Master Cho.
I'm going first.
How many more have I killed than you?
None.
Most.
Most.
All of them.
Oh, I'm good at that.
Yeah. Me too.
With the... You're
holding on. Ironically, we kind of rolled like we're standing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm in the back.
Okay.
No, I got a better roll than he did.
So, no one else is there. Who wants to go first?
Man. I will go first. No, I'm not that far back. I mean, should get it back up.
Well, yeah, you guys
I
all
think
have
on the nat 20 that Alistair should go first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, what are you going to do, Alistair?
Can I give my horse to...
Well, you guys have already tied your horses up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, advancing down the road to find out what's going on.
Then I'm
going to
run forward and...
Die. Right here?
Yeah. Should I do Thunderous or Searing first?
That's up to you, dude.
I'm going to use Thunderous Smite.
Okay.
It's a bonus action. It's a spell that lasts a minute or until my concentration is broken.
Excuse me.
And each attack I make deals an extra 2d6 damage. And then if when I hit it, the creature has to make a strength save or be pushed 10 feet.
Okay.
So, going to attack it.
Now, you find that the blurring effect is so great that you aren't really sure where it is, mm-hmm. so you'll actually be attacking with disadvantage.
Great.
So pull an extra die out.
12.
12? No, you hit the ground right beside it, right where you thought it was, but it hits the ground instead. Okay, Noah.
I am going to move to here.
Okay.
I am going to do the following sequence. I'm going to do a double-handed staff attack.
Okay.
I'll do a kick, and I will expend a key point for patient defense to give me dodge.
Okay.
Okay.
So remember, you're attacking with disadvantage because you can't quite figure out where it is.
Well, 3. That was the staff.
Well, you could.
Swings over it, yeah, keep going.
18, 20-something, and 5, 12.
No, once again, you strike the ground right where you think
okay.
it is, and it's not there.
But I have dodge, so it has disadvantage to attack
okay,
me.
And Gwen?
Okay. Well, first off, I want to use my breath weapon on it.
Okay, so it has to make a...
saving versus...
Dex save,
yeah.
Natural 20.
Crud. Okay, but he still takes...
Actually, he doesn't. Once again, the lightning bolt just zaps right through where you thought he was and smacks the ground.
Mm.
So.
Okay.
Is it early morning?
It's basically mid-morning at this point.
Okay.
You guys
have
been riding for about
an
hour.
Okay, I'm going to move to here, where I think it might be. And I am going to try a different sort of attack.
Okay.
Trying to rely on my keen draconic senses.
Mm-hmm.
If I can, I wonder if it's, and this is, I don't know how you want to do this. I want to take my shield and see if I can try to pin it in place.
Okay.
Or pin it down at least.
So are you gonna, is this going to be a grapple attack then, or what are you going
to
do?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, can I use my shield and do it? Take the shield and just jump on top of it and slam it to the ground? Or do you want me to use like a grapple?
How big is it?
That's another thing. I don't know how big it is.
It's basically the size of a full-size panther. So we're talking something that's about 3.5 feet at the shoulder and about 6 feet
then,
long.
Then, yeah, it'll be a grapple.
Yeah. So you're just going to try to grab it?
Yeah, grab it and throw it or put it to the ground.
Okay, so then...
Using myself as a dead weight.
So this would be a contested thing. So you'd be using your strength then, I guess?
I'm so screwed. Yeah.
So once again, you'll be doing
dead weight
because you're not even really sure where it is.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Wow.
So 8. That's a grand total of 8?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roll again and see if you can get any worse.
10.
So 8, so it just has to beat an 8. And it gets a 9.
Oh!
Jesus.
So you once again, just try to go and tackle it, and you end up just face first right in front of it.
Well, at least we know what it's going to attack next.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well... And it turns out that next on the list is it, and it whips 2 of its tentacles through the air, and one of them is coming for you, Gwen,
mm-hmm.
and then the other one is going for you, Nuon.
I'm going to use my reaction and impose disadvantage on his attack on him.
Okay.
That's a thing I got when I leveled up as well.
Okay, so...
Famous, like, putting
and he gets disadvantage on me, too.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Gwen, the... worst of the two is a 22 to hit.
What?
Wow.
Well, you basically your disadvantage made sure it wasn't a natural 20, which was my other roll.
Okay.
So, so 22 to hit, I'm assuming that hits?
Yeah, that does.
So you take 5 points of bludgeoning damage
mm-hmm.
and an additional 5 points of piercing damage, so 10 points total as
ouch.
It whacks you with it. And then disadvantage on this attack on Unuon, and that will give it a grand total of 11, which I'm assuming doesn't hit.
Correct.
So that it just swings over your head. Okay, and then it will stay exactly where it is, since you guys have it pinned in there pretty good. So, Adrian, you get to go.
Okay, I'm going to move up and fill this space right here. I am going to... do 2 unarmed strikes, or at least attempt.
Remember, you make it with disadvantage.
Okay. So first one is, oh no, that's, I don't know, that's 15.
15 total? That's the worst of your rolls?
Yes.
Oh wow. So yeah. Plug it pretty good. So yeah, you actually swing and connect.
Okay, and that would be, I'm sorry, I was not prepared for that. 3 points damage.
Okay,
and then another.
And this time you know where it is, so you do not have disadvantage on this roll.
Okay, sweet. That's good.
Now pin it in
another. I'm going to do a short sword attack, actually. Or pin it in.
Well, play. As a bonus action, you can only do it
okay,
strike.
that's true. Short sword attack is, oh shoot, a 10?
No.
Okay,
okay,
but I'm also going to expend a key point and use patient defense as well.
Okay, very good. And Arlen, you saw where she struck. You do not have disadvantage if you should attack him.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, I'm going to use Witch Bolt and...
Which one?
Yes.
Okay.
And use my Tides of Chaos feature, which gives me advantage on the roll.
Okay.
Ooh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a non-natural 20. Yeah, non-natural 20.
Okay, you hit.
All right, and... Is it only 3?
Yeah.
For now.
Yep. But you get to hold and do automatic damage.
3 points of lightning damage.
Okay.
And now, because I used the Tides of Chaos, you can have me roll the table whenever within the next long rest. And I'll regain the feature.
Okay. So...
Or when he does it before the next long rest. I think
out of duty or out of
duty? No, I already did it.
Out of character, GM, because of how Witch Bolt works, now he's got an arc of lightning going between him and this creature. Do we all now lose that disadvantage?
Well, it's fun that you mentioned that. Yes, you guys know exactly where this beast is now.
Oh, nice.
But not so much because of the bolt, but because you just saw where the two your two teammate members struck.
That
so you now know where in that blur the creature is.
Okay.
So, top of the round, Alistair.
I'm going to hit it with my longsword. No natural 20.
You hit.
Okay, so now I'll do my 1d8 and an extra 2d6 because of Thunderous Smite.
Told you.
So 6 plus 5 plus 7 is 18 points of damage.
Nice. Okay, tag it pretty solidly there.
You just got undivided attention.
And this is
attention.
What? One round in, so I still have
one.
9 rounds of this.
I am going to... Do an overhand.
It needs to do a strength check.
This is going to be bad
gonna
for us,
it.
You know.
Yeah,
you're going to move it. Now we're not going to know where it is.
Strength check is 19.
Okay, it doesn't move.
Okay.
He doesn't have a choice.
Yeah, but I mean, if you do that, we're going to lose track of where it is every time it moves.
Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Well, he's going to bump him back. You guys will. You might be able to still triangulate on him. Okay, Noah.
Okay, I will do an overhand double hand strike with my staff. Which is 9 plus 5, 13?
You hit.
9 plus 5 is 14.
14.
You conk him right in the head.
Okay. And
he's now angry.
Plus 1. That's 4. Now follow up with a kick.
Oh, by the way, when I hit him, it went boom really loudly.
You have to keep adding on little bits.
So the same 14. And then that's an additional 5.
So 9 points total?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I will not expend a key point.
Okay, and Gwendol.
I'm going to, now that I see it, I'm going to try to whack it with my almighty flail.
Really hard.
And got a now natural 20.
Yep, you hit.
For 6 points of damage, and then I'm going to use my bonus action to cast second, or to activate my second wind to get regarding some of those hit points, and got 7 back.
Okay. You dig deep into that well of constitution inside you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it gets to go. And it did not appreciate...
getting whacked really hard.
Getting whacked really hard. So it puts a tentacle attack on you, Alistair.
Mm-hmm.
And gets a 10 total.
No.
And then no one didn't like you getting whacked by you either. And gets a... 14 to hit. Did that hit you?
No.
Okay. So it just swings wildly through the air. And Adri?
Okay, I'm gonna do two short sword attacks. First one is than 20.
Two short swords?
No, you can do short sword and then an unarmored.
Yeah.
So your bonus
attack. No, it's including a monk weapon. Unarmored or monk weapon is the bonus attack.
But
I've done that before.
Oh, yeah.
It's unarmored or monk weapon.
Okay. Oh.
So it's
you go, girl.
18 plus 4. So that one is good. And the short sword attack.
Guess she told you.
Is, oh god, 3 points of damage.
It's a quick beast.
Yeah, and then the second one is also 22 and 5 points of damage.
Okay. And Arlen, you get to go. He put some damage on it.
Take 3 more points of damage.
Okay.
Lightning.
Oh, it keeps.
Yeah.
That's
as long as he holds it.
Yeah, you gotta
do 12. Top of the round.
3.
Elsair.
I'm gonna hit it again.
You guys seem to triangulate it on it.
11.
Okay. Nope, that does not hit. So it jumps lethally aside. And no one?
I will strike it with my staff for 15.
You hit.
And that would be for 6. And then I will do a kick with a 22. And that would be 7.
Wow.
So a total of 13.
Okay.
Take that, kitty.
Okay. And Gwendolyn.
She's going to try to whack it again. With a 9. I don't think so.
No, it jumps aside again.
Bad, it gets to go.
How's it looking?
Pretty beat up. You guys have been whacking and thwacking on it pretty good. So it takes a tentacle attacks. And Adri, you seem to be doing really well against it, so it takes a swing at you. With a natural 20.
Aww.
So it just basically catches you right up the side of the head there. And, oh my goodness.
I don't like hearing you say those words.
It does 10 points.
Okay.
A bludgeoning damage and additional 10 points of piercing damage.
Wow, I'm
at negative 30.
Oh my lord.
Negative 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
And she crumples.
So the tentacle just comes whipping out of this blur and just catches her completely unaware and just levels her completely.
Completely decks.
And then the other one is going for you, Alistair.
Me?
And gets a 21 to hit.
Yes, that does. Now we need to roll Constitution saving throw to see if the spell keeps going.
What?
It's a
Gotcha. Concentration. If it's a DC 10, do I have to get higher than or equal
yes.
to 10?
Yeah, higher than 10.
It's always over.
Yeah.
And I got that one.
Okay, no, you weren't expecting that. The
solid thunk knocked you the hell out.
However, this one, basically, you were able to roll with it, so you just take 5 points of bludgeoning damage and an additional point of piercing damage that just sort of scratches you. So
I'm
you
at 17.
6 points of damage there.
20, you know.
You rolled a natural on you.
And Adri, you're up next. I need a
death
saving throw.
That's
20. Yeah.
Ronnie, right? Okay.
I'm putting away that die.
Woo, 12.
Okay, one happy face.
Yay.
And Arlen, you good to go.
Take 4 points of damage.
Hey, you're going up in the world.
Okay, and top of the round, Alistair. Constitution broken. What do you do?
You're still okay for at least 2 rounds.
Unless she does a nat 1.
Then she'll be okay for 2 rounds.
Yeah.
But I go before she does.
And you can heal.
So she can
so I'm gonna
she can bleed out for a little longer.
A little.
As
Kalaya crumples
her from
I'm really feeling the love, you guys.
Yeah.
that's a miss with a 9.
Okay, yeah, it swings over its head.
I really like those zombies. Can we fight more
and,
of them? They have real low ACs.
No one, you get to go.
Okay. Feeling the slightest bit of ire that my sister from the monastery was struck, I shall expend a key point. And pummel this with a fury
blows. It's more just irksomeness that, like,
okay,
you
but first,
as I am.
The staff. 20-something.
You definitely have.
And that would be 4 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Then I am going to kick it twice. Much is my rage.
with what?
So 15, yeah. A 16
hits,
and that would be for 5, and then 8.
Okay, no, it was able to roll that second one. Okay, and then Gwynville, what are you gonna do?
A most unusual and slightly scary thing for a little group. Seeing the monk fall, Gwynville kind of cocks his head and speaks in a language that you guys do. You sounds like a bunch of snarling and screaming and slightly angry tones in a plume of green and white fire will expound from the dragonborn mouth and completely engulf the fallen monk.
Not so much the monk.
Did you puke fire on the monk?
It's yeah. Like that swirly toothpaste.
Yeah, keep that in mind. And you will get...
Not so minty fresh, however. Oh,
you're laughing now. Now let me finish speaking. You,
okay,
you
okay.
Get back 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 hit points.
Oh, sweet.
Nice.
Thank you.
13.
And when it and when the fire dissipates, your wounds are gone and you are wide awake.
Wow.
So you wake up on the ground looking up, feeling...
minty fresh.
Yeah.
The tartar has come from...
13 total?
Yeah.
13 total.
Okay.
Because you started
zero. And
then
the creature uses its disengage action and runs off into the trees.
And we don't get because he disengages, we don't get a shot of opportunity on.
Okay.
And how far can he move? Faster than you.
Yes.
So he disappears into the trees with a snarl and a last minute...
great.
And the beam of energy.
The last of me.
And you guys are left there licking your wounds.
I'm not licking.
I'm not licking any.
I say not too many.
I'm down.
No, I'm
into
it.
And I'm not going to lick her. So. You know.
Well.
That's what I thought the dragonborn was going to do.
You wake up with this fork tongue licking your face.
When he said
this
something
isn't,
disturbing.
Hey,
happens,
this
I'm
is
like,
not true blood, okay?
Well, I'm going to spend a hit die.
Okay.
I'm not going to bother. I'm only two down.
22
aww.
Of 23.
And are you going to use a hit die as well, Adrian?
You should.
No, I'm only 4 points down, so right. I'm not that worried about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I just rolled max healing. So
yeah.
I was like, sweet. That would have sucked
guys,
a roll to one.
That's why I like to lay on hands, because I have this much I can do. So I know exactly how much to hand out.
1 point.
1 point?
Price is thinking 1 point.
And the best part about the whole thing, besides being minty fresh, is it wasn't beige.
Yeah, yeah.
Bryce, you can 1 point yourself.
I'll 10 times.
It. No, I'm down 1 hit point.
No.
So I'll keep it down 1 hit point.
Okay, good.
Question, Master, if we're riding and not being attacked, is that considered resting?
No. As anyone who has ridden for any length of time knows,
it's pretty exhausting.
Yeah.
Okay. We should rest for a half hour so that I can meditate.
You're certainly going to do that while everyone bandages up and everything.
Yeah, I think
so.
A half
I'll
hours.
Get our key
points
back.
And it'll definitely take you about that a length of time just
no
to get the horses calmed down enough to continue forward.
Oh, cool. Full
and in fact, they won't budge for the next hour or two just because the wind's still carrying the scent of whatever that was.
Fun. Do we know what it is?
Can you roll me a nature check and see if you can figure out what it was.
Oh,
nature,
that.
I got an 11.
I got...
my roll is negligible.
15.
Natural 20.
Oh, okay.
I'm not gonna
he's like, I remember that from paladin class.
He might.
The Strange and Mysterious Beast, part one, yes. So the two of you, Adrian and Alistair, you guys have heard of the Displacer Beast. Although you've only ever heard them in legend. No one's ever seen one that you know. At least no one has seen one that lived. And they do exactly as you guys saw. They tend to, blur themselves. And so travelers, the few that have survived, report, exactly what you did. Having trouble hitting it until they can finally triangulate on where in that blurring mass it was. And their tentacles are supposed to swing with tremendous force, which you guys experienced.
Was it starving as well? Like the wolves that we encountered?
Well, you really
on,
couldn't see,
like...
but... the fact that it's come down from the mountains to bother people on the roadways is startling.
It's pretty.
They are mostly known for picking off lone wanderers one at a time.
They're creatures of opportunity.
Yeah. The fact that it would just come and brazenly and openly attack
implies
these guys.
Starving.
Yeah, it's some desperation at the very least. Very good. So after a couple hours of calming the horses, you guys are able to remount and continue down into the forest. And You guys are going for, you know, a couple more hours. You guys have to break for midday meal, and about an hour after that, you guys are riding along peacefully. And roll for me a perception check, everybody.
Joy. Oh, Lord.
Aww.
9. 11.
5.
20 non-natural.
Nice.
Okay. Gwenville, you get the feeling that there's someone in front of the tree right next to the road in front of you.
In front of?
In front of the tree?
No. In front of you, there is a tree beside the road, and you get the feeling there's someone behind it.
Oh, okay.
You see a shadow, or perhaps an elbow pokes out.
I try to quietly catch everyone's attention and point to the tree and around. Yeah, and start and just kind of cautiously move toward it, you know, fan out.
sensing that his cover is blown, human male steps out from behind the tree, and he is dressed all in kind of ragged green clothing that makes him blend almost perfectly with the surroundings. And he says to you, "Halt!" And all of a sudden you hear a rustling, and you guys realize that you're now encircled by about 10 guys, all dressed in similar clothes.
That's fun.
Oh my god, it's the Merry Men.
They've got weapons drawn, bows and swords, and guy in the front... rushes up and grabs the bridle of your horse, Guinevere. And it seems to only then realize that the Baron's livery is on the bridle straps.
Mm-hmm.
And he shouts to one of the guys on the left side. And says, "Hey, look at this!" And the guy takes a look over. It's another human male, somewhat older and wearing an eye patch. And he just says two words, "The Master," and somebody runs off into the woods. And that's where we're going to stop.
Sweet.
So, Dungeon Masters, have you ever got about half of what you were going to say out of your mouth and then realized that, oh, this isn't going to go well? That was me. I proposed the little kumbaya, get to know each other session there at the dinner table, and I was about halfway through that, I realized that all of the characters, all of them, had been given a super secret, dark, and mysterious backstory. All of them. And as soon as I got that out of my mouth, I realized, oh, this isn't going to go well. No one's going to say anything. But hey, you know, they all did, thanks to the Dragonborns prodding them. So, we'll see what comes of that in future sessions. For now, it seems as if the party has met the Merry Men of Sherwood Forest. We'll see what comes of that in future sessions. Until then, email us at relicofthepastpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us at Relic of the Past on Twitter and Relic of the Past Podcast on Facebook. And thank you for playing in the world that lives inside my head.